Hello, everybody. Today I'd like to introduce Carrie Wilkerson from the Barefoot Executive. Carrie's a business owner. She has four children, and she works from home. She's a woman who's really on a mission, and you're definitely going to be able to hear that from her. She's determined. She's got tons of energy, and she takes action, and she follows through on what she starts, and that's really been the key to her success. Carrie's overcome many obstacles, and I'm sure that she'll talk to us about that. So right now I'd like to introduce you to Carrie Wilkerson. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Thanks, Bridget, for having me.
I wanted to first see, how did you get started in internet marketing, but also tell us a little bit about some of the other businesses that you do run so that people can get an idea about you.
Sure. I was a high school teacher, and I became an overnight mom. I adopted an 8-month-old and a 2-year-old brother and sister, and so overnight my priorities changed. I didn't have a big passion for working at home. There wasn't something specific I wanted to do, but I did want to stay home with my kids. So when the school year ended, I decided over the summer to stay home and to use my summer to investigate some possibilities. So over the last now almost 11 years, I have investigated and been involved with direct sales and publishing and virtual outsourcing and so many different things. And I have several business successes in those areas. In my virtual outsourcing publishing company, I started investigating some easier ways to deliver things online. And through investigating things like sample requests and shopping carts and those kind of things, it naturally led me into the arena where people were selling information products and coaching and those kind of things. And so while I was running this other business and doing quite well at it, this other started to intrigue me. And so in late August of 2007, I began what's called list building, which is, you know, gathering interested people's names and emails, address, and exchanging information with them in order to see what interest there was in a concept like the Barefoot Executive, connecting women that work at home in a lot of different business models. So we started that at the end of August 2007 and developed a membership community, information products, coaching. Now we do a lot of speaking, and I'm an author, and it's really just kind of exploded online. So I really didn't start out looking at the internet marketing model. I was looking at ways to market through the internet my existing businesses. I almost hate the term internet marketing because it sounds like it's a standalone business in and of itself, when truthfully, it's just like a storefront. It's the way to get your products, services, and information to a mass market, much like television or radio or, you know, the store, except it's just a little lower cost and it's, you know, more mass distribution.
What were some of the other businesses that you did have?
I still have five businesses, and I don't go into all their names and everything because they're in other niches, and I don't want to confuse people. But I have a publishing company. I have a motivational company that then has an affiliate engine behind it that we monetize that way, and some other interests like that. Plus, we do some real estate investing, and we're launching an association in the next few weeks, as a matter of fact. So they're very diverse, and I don't want people to get too distracted by all that. Primarily, what I focus on online is the Barefoot Executive, which really teaches the model of, it doesn't matter what business model you're in, women still need support and community and connection and resources when they're working a business, whether they're a realtor, a consultant, a financial planner, a daycare provider, a virtual assistant, or an internet marketer.
One thing that's really interesting is how you got those people to you. How did you get such a huge following for the Barefoot Executive?
Well, we started out with none, and I teach this in my magnetic list building course. So we put up an opt-in page, which is a squeeze page. Everybody has seen those online by now, where they ask for your name and your email in exchange for a report or a video or other information. And so we started that way, and we sent out notes to some of our other clients just to let them know that was there. And we actually thought that was going to be a pretty big draw. But the fact is, from our own existing clients, we didn't get that many new names. So we created a viral movie. It's called a viral movie, and it's thebossmovie.com. And the movie got passed around and passed around and posted in different places. And really, that was probably the largest source of drawing people to us, other than, you know, once we started publishing our newsletter, it kind of gets passed around too. So those are a couple of the ways that we drew people to us.
I just want to tell everybody, make sure you do go watch the Boss movie because it is so inspirational. You will really love it. You'll be drawn to Carrie and her organization. So now what about what you do in a typical day? How, because you have so many businesses going, and I know people wonder, how does she get all that stuff done?
Well, that's a good question. I also have four young children. When I started my first business, I only had two, and now we have four. And they range in ages from a toddler to 13 years old. So we're busy, busy. Well, the fact is you start out and it's just you. And as you grow and as you develop your business, you need to find more systems. So, for instance, I have a housekeeper who's here right now. As a matter of fact, she comes every other week for a really, really great deep clean on the house because it doesn't make sense for me to spend my time doing that right now when I could be accomplishing something in our business or spending time with the kids. I have a mom's helper that comes part-time that helps me with the kids while I'm here working. Now, I'm always here with them, so I really have the best of all worlds. I'm always here with them, but if I have a conference call like this or if I need to really be focused on writing, then I know that they're safe and they're entertained and diapers are getting changed and all that kind of thing. But I also have some virtual assistants that help me with technology and those kind of things. Again, they don't do anything for me that I don't know how to do myself. I started out doing it all myself. But as I grew and developed other business interests, I just needed more help. So I do have a really great team. I don't do my own books. My husband is an accountant, and he handles all my books and the money and those kind of things because it just really helps me focus on doing the things that I'm best at, which is connections and networking, content creation, writing, and marketing. And so when I get bogged down in details of little things like tweaking web pages and that, it really takes away from my productivity.
Where did you find your virtual assistants? And also, you said you have a couple of them. Do you split up the types of jobs that each of them does? And can you share with us what kind of jobs those are?
Sure. I have four. I just acquired a new one, so I actually have four. I've gotten them all through word of mouth. I've tried going through a service. I've tried putting out ads. I've tried looking myself, and it just doesn't seem to work. So I find people who really seem thrilled with theirs, and then I grill them, and I hire people based on word of mouth. I have one that does primarily technical things, web pages, autoresponders, those kind of things that are all technical. And she's a premium price, but I tell you what, she saves me a lot of time and a lot of headache. And so that's all she does. She doesn't do any administrative, any customer service, any of that. She is primarily technical. I have one that is focused just on one of my businesses. So that way, you know, what she does doesn't bleed into what everybody else does. She is just primarily administrative for that one business. She does the unsubscribes. She makes sure the links are working. She plugs in the quotes to the daily service, and she screens emails. And she also can help with follow-up greeting cards and those kind of things. Then I have one who's my Barefoot Executive main assistant, and she's really key to everything that I do. She does phone calls, customer service, billing issues, adds content to the website, screens interview requests, sets up all my calendar stuff, does travel arrangements, all those kind of things, and I really use her quite a bit. And then I have another that I've just brought on who has been my transcriptionist primarily and just done some random fulfillment things, but now she's going to be moving into being the primary VA for my association. She'll be the go-to for the association as we develop and grow that.
When you said the one assistant writes up the autoresponders or handles them, does she actually write up the autoresponders or you write up the messages? Or how does that
work? No, I do most of my own writing. She just handles the technical part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I have had an autoresponder series written by a copywriter, and those kind of outsourcers are not people I'm working with on a daily basis, but yes, I work with copywriters too and a design team and all those things for bigger projects. But no, for most of my content autoresponders, those are primarily me.
And when you say you reach out sometimes to copywriter or design team, do you always use the same one or will you go to a certain source and get different people at different times?
That's a great question. Ideally I would work with one all the time, but I haven't found the one that's the best fit yet. Although I am working with somebody on another project, and I loved the copy they did for that so much that I hunted down their copywriter, and I said, do you mind if I use them? Because really, they seemed – you know, I hate hypey copy. I hate, I will not use false copy or misleading copy. I don't like all the used car salesman techniques. And, you know, I kind of have positioned myself as the authentic marketer, the transparent marketer. And so some of those techniques just don't work for me. And so traditional copywriters are not always a great fit. But I think I found someone who's going to be a really great fit, and I'm hoping to be able to use them from now on, because it just cuts down on the learning curve, on them figuring out your voice and your motive and your audience. If I could work with the same person all the time, that would be really a great thing.
How much does a copywriter cost? Say a copywriter is going to do an entire project. Do they charge by the hour? Do they charge by the sales page? How do they work?
It depends on the copywriter. What I have found is a range of different things. Typically, it's a package. If you have, you know, launch copy, a sales page, autoresponders, you can pay them per project for the package. And sometimes they even want a percentage of the conversion on the back end, depending on who you're working with or how their front fees are. It really just depends. I've not ever worked with one that charged by the hour, but typically they've all charged per project.
And back to the virtual assistant, how do you pay for them? Is that done by the hour? Is that
Yes.
done by, like, a normal employee? You give them a contract for a year or?
The virtual assistant, all the ones I've worked with have been hourly, but typically they need a minimum retainer, meaning you have to guarantee them so many hours a month. Now, say you have a 10-hour retainer and you only choose to use them for 5 hours, you still have to pay them for the 10 hours. So, you know, it's always best to start off conservative with your retainer and then, you know, add as necessary later. But my VAs don't tend to have that problem. My VAs, I tend to use more even than what my retainer is. But, you know, they're all on different hourly rates depending on their specialty. And the fact of the matter is you just have to find one you're comfortable with. Although I will caution you not to shop for a VA based on their rate. You know, it's not bargain shopping. It's for your business. You need to think of them as a business partner and not as an employee, or, you know, you don't shop for them the same way you shop for vanilla ice cream. It just doesn't work.
What would someone pay? What's a price range?
I pay anywhere from $12 to $65 an hour. Depends
okay.
what they do. It depends what they do for me. And it also depends on what country they're based. You can obviously pay less to use someone out of the country, but all of my VAs are U.S.-based, and all of mine are women. And not because I've chosen to go that route, although I do like to support work-at-home women, but because these just are a really great fit for what I'm doing. And I have to say, I work so well with my VAs that we're all big mutual fans. They're big fans of mine, and I'm big fans of theirs, and we really are a team. It's not like I'm their boss. We're a team.
Do the virtual assistants work with one another, like the ones
yeah.
that you have,
yeah.
or they each are
Yeah, they do,
own?
Especially the technical one. I'll say, you know, get with Karen and make sure you have what you need, or Karen, when you have that, make sure and forward that to the rest of the team. So, yeah, my team – now, other people may do that very differently, but if you're working on a team concept, then I believe the more you can integrate your team, the more they feel part of something. And people really want to be part of something, especially when they work at home, they're a little isolated. So Team Barefoot is actually something that people are proud to be part of, and really they work very hard to make sure that we do well.
One question that everybody always wants to know is, where does the money come from? How do you make the money? What does it come from? Products? What does it come from?
Well, again, I have several different business models, but in Barefoot Executive, I have a membership site that they have to pay to be a part of. And I also do monthly teleclasses that sometimes we charge tuition for, and sometimes we sell information products on the back end. I also do coaching groups, Barefoot Boot Camp, where we do that about once a quarter. And that's a good revenue source. And just most recently, we formed our own mastermind group. So it's 18 high-level business owners that are masterminding 4 times a year in person and then 12 times on the phone. And so that's a source of revenue also. Plus affiliate commissions, and I do quite a bit of speaking, which is very lucrative, and my book and all those sorts of things.
Affiliate commissions, what types of things do you sell for that?
Well, it just depends. Because of my audience, if I interview a CPA on tax strategies for the work-at-home force, then she may promote her book or service or product, and so I would affiliate for that. I don't promote anything that's not directly related to what we're doing. So just because I have a lot of moms in my audience, I get a lot of people that will say, oh, I have this great mom product or this great kid thing that your audience would love. Well, my audience might love it, but that's not why they came to me. They didn't come to me looking for great solutions for their house. They didn't come to me looking for how to entertain their kids. They came to me looking for business solutions and support in their business. So I try to maintain the integrity of that relationship with my list by only bringing to them things that support them in what they're doing.
How do you keep all that organized?
I don't. It's a crazy mess. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the truth is when you start out, people always get really caught up in, well, yeah, you have help. You can afford to have help because you're doing this volume. Or, oh, great, you have teams, but I can't, you know, I'm not paying my bills. And how do you keep all that organized? The thing is you don't start with 15 affiliate programs or 20 affiliate programs. You start one at a time. So you build your system as you go, whether it's a spreadsheet or an email folder or, you know, having your assistant track it or, you know, even a separate email, affiliates@whateveryourdomainname.com. You know, that's something that I could tell you my system, but my system's probably not going to work for you. For instance, just as an example, mind mapping is really big in the industry right now. A lot of people love mind mapping, and they think it just helps them have clarity and all that. I'll tell you that mind mapping makes me nuts. I can't read one. I can't draw one. I can't do one. So, you know, my system is we basically track things on a spreadsheet, and we have Google alerts to remind us on payment days and those kind of things. But I don't have a formal affiliate tracking system. I don't have any big guru way to do it. I mean, I just kind of keep track as I can.
How about for scheduling time? Do you use a day timer that you write in, or you use that online, or one of your assistants?
I knew you were
going to
ask me that. I really hate when people ask me if I'm organized. I'm not a very organized person, but you know, I went to a revolutionary new system this year. Are you ready? This is my big secret. I went to a paper calendar this year. I've been trying to do things on my BlackBerry and trying to have my assistant do all my scheduling. And this year, we still are doing the Google Calendar. But I also have a paper calendar. And I almost wish you could have a webcam so you could see what my calendar looks like, because it is a big, crazy, scribbled-on mess. But it's helping me not to overbook and overschedule, and it's also helping my family stay on the same page. I got this tip from a great friend, Mr. Video, at AskMrVideo.com. He uses a wall calendar, which is 4x4, 2 months by 2 months, so you can see 4 months at a time. And that way, when you're planning your travel dates or your conference dates or your publishing dates or your class dates, you don't overbook yourself. Or, you know, the same thing, you can go backwards. You can book 3 months ahead and then back it up and say, what do I need to schedule before then to make that happen?
And is this on a whiteboard, or this is written down on a hard copy calendar?
It's on his wall. It's a big laminated calendar on his wall that then once, you know, December is over, you erase December and you put the next month until you've got your four months rotating all the time.
Okay.
Well, and to add to that, I also use colored wipe-off markers because I've got four kids, so everybody's got their own color, and that helps us a little bit too.
Okay, that's great. Organizing is always such a hard part. And another thing I'm sure you draw on is your virtual assistant to keep you organized, because I know for myself that's what I totally rely on, because I like to be busy doing all the work out there and I need someone to just keep me on track.
Right, exactly. And especially when you're speaking and you're very public, you have a lot of requests for interviews, a lot of requests for time demands and article publishing and those kind of things, and she helps filter that. That doesn't all come directly through me anymore, because I just can't juggle it. And she's also better at saying no than I am.
Oh, you mentioned articles. Did you use article marketing a lot to get yourself going and to build part of your list?
You know, I have not, and I still have not. I do some, but I generate at least 1 to 2 articles a week for my newsletter. I mean, that's like forced publishing. And then I put those on my site. I have a woman that helps me submit those to directories and, you know, keeps those out there, but I have not used article marketing with keywords and, you know, all that technical sort of stuff as I've gone along. I just haven't taken the time to figure it out, and I probably should just pay somebody to do it, but, you know, I'm just not there yet. Our list building is going fine, and our traffic is fine through the strategies that we're using. That'll be something we probably tack on in 2009, but I just don't have the energy to devote the mind space to it right now.
With the list building, that comes from your video mostly, right? And the newsletter?
Well, no, that's how I started. No, that's how I started was with the video. But primarily now it comes through my weekly newsletter and my involvement in social media, my joint ventures with other people, cross promotions. And once you have a list of a pretty good size, it's kind of a self-perpetuating thing.
How do you use social media? You brought that up. What does that mean, and how are you using that?
Social media, what I mean is like Facebook or Twitter or blogs or interaction in forums on other sites, those kind of things. I'm pretty involved on Twitter right now is the one I started investigating first. And Twitter.com, it's a free service. It's microblogging, so it's like your blog, except it's 140 characters or less. There are literally over 500,000 users. They predict 1 million users by the end of January this year, I believe, and all sorts of marketers are there. All sorts of people from any audience, any niche are there. It's just a big cocktail party is what it is, a non-alcoholic cocktail party. You get on there, and you have your picture and your profile, and you can connect with people. And really, it's a call series in and of itself. And so if people are not familiar with that medium, I invite them to go to twitterbarefoot.com. Which is how you get to my Twitter page. Follow me. Watch what I do. Watch how I interact with people and how people interact with me and also how I promote business through there. And I think that'll help people get a better understanding of that.
Do you have your own blog?
Yes, I have two. I have MomFlicked, MomFlicct.com. That's just a general mom blog about all the things that we juggle. And then I have blogbarefoot.com. That's www.blogbarefoot.com.
Okay, great. Thanks. We'll look all that up. Now, what about for traffic? How do you bring traffic to your sites? And do you have different methods for your different blogs or your different sites?
Nope. I just stick primarily with my list building and social media. I mention articles. I mention them in my newsletter. When we do cross promotions or interviews like this, this is traffic generation. And so I don't do any paid traffic. I don't do any banner traffic. I don't do any of that sort of thing yet. All I do at this moment is the methods through my list building. I do have videos on YouTube. My channel name is Barefoot Exec, E-X-E-C. So if you go to youtube.com/barefootexec, videos are good for driving traffic, and I'm implementing a lot more of that this year. But basically, with my newsletter and my movie and my promotions and being involved in social media, that's about the traffic that we can handle right now. I may explore some paid traffic this year because I have some new products coming out for more mass market, but I don't have a strategy on that yet. I'm working with John Reese and Mike Hill on some traffic strategies, and I'll let you know how those come out.
You know what your hidden secret is about how you get traffic? It's your personality.
It's magnetic.
Yes, it is. When people get to know you and they interact with you, you just naturally draw people to you. I mean, you're exciting, you have great things to say, and people always like to associate with someone like that. And to me, that's what I see as your key strength. You're just being you, who you are, and everything just naturally comes and gets drawn to you. So this
is
why
I just call that magnetic list building or magnetic marketing. When you're you and when you have something people want to be in the space of, which nowadays, really, it's as simple as having energy and a smile. And then when people know that you know what you're talking about, too, it's irresistible to them. It has nothing to do with paid traffic. It has nothing to do with me having an MBA because I don't. It's nothing to do with me running multimillion-dollar corporations because until now I have not. It has to do with I'm friendly, I care about people, I am connecting people to other people, and connecting people to me. And that does become magnetic. You are so right. It becomes where you draw people to you instead of having to chase people down. So, you know, those are words we hear a lot, magic, magnetic. And some people will call it the law of attraction or whatever. And you know that that's not a big thing with me. I believe that people are drawn to people that they feel like are concerned and who care and who are real. They're tired of fake and fluff, really. And so if we can be fun and if we can be informative and if we can be connected at the same time, then you're right. It keeps people around and they tend to dig that.
You tend to share your life and what's going on in it. I know last year I think you went to New York for shopping and that was a lot of fun. You tell us a bit about that because I'm sure that helped too to get some traffic, to get some attention.
Well, you know, what I have found is that people are a little voyeuristic in nature. They like to watch what other people are doing. This is why television is so popular, and this is why that those dumb reality shows are so popular, because we think everybody else's life is more interesting than ours. And the truth of the matter is, our life is more interesting than most people, because most people are going to work, they're coming home at the same time, they're fixing the same 5 meals every week and eating out twice at the same 2 places and ordering the same thing off the menu every time. And they're going home with the same people, and then they're watching the same TV shows that they can't miss. And if they do have to miss them, they TiVo them so that they can watch them later, so that they can be more involved in those characters' lives than they are in their own lives. They plan more around those TV shows than they plan around their own goals and their own dreams. And so their life is boring. They're tired of it, but yet they're not uncomfortable enough to make a change. So they watch people like me, and they say, oh, wow, look, Carrie's doing something. Well, you know, what Carrie's not doing is not watching TV and not TiVoing anything and not watching a reality show. I don't know any of the shows, any of the characters' names. I could care less who's competing on American Idol. That doesn't affect my life. I'm married, so The Bachelor doesn't interest me. The Biggest Loser, that's great for them, but that's not making my butt any smaller. So until I get up and do something, then I'm not interesting. So what sets me apart from other people and why people like to watch is because I'm doing something. And so, yes, last year, as you know, I've lost over 100 pounds, and we've gotten out of over $100,000 worth of debt. That, you know, and other people are amazed by that. But the truth is, it's the same as if somebody loses 20 pounds. It's one choice at a time, one pound at a time, one step at a time, you know, one snack at a time, whatever it is. It's just making the choice to make a difference. So to reward myself for that, I went to New York and I did one of those ultimate makeovers. And I treated myself. Now it was kind of a treat and kind of torture too, because I hate to shop. I really hate to shop. And that probably comes from years of me not liking my size. It probably comes, you know, whatever, years of not having money, whatever. But I went and I put myself totally in these people's hands. I let them redo my hair, redo my makeup. I had 2 full days. We shopped. You know, they brought stuff to the fitting room, stuff I never would have normally picked out for myself, but just really kind of reinvented myself. Now, the fact of the matter is I'm still me, and I still had veto power, and so there were some of those things I absolutely was not leaving with, but it was fun. It was rewarding for me. We shot 2 days of video of it. We Twittered about it, you know, while I was there, and everybody got to watch the new look, the new me, the new whatever. And yeah, so that was fun, and people were very involved and interested in that. And of course, I turned it into business too. You know, I had some business appointments while I was there. I got to hang out with a great friend some while I was there, and you know, see New York and see some shows, and that was fun. And for other people, they wanted to watch because that's something they wouldn't have done for themselves. Well, guess what? 6 months ago, that's not something I would have done for myself either. And so it's about stepping out of your comfort zone. It's about making a change because, one, you deserve it. 2, you need it. And 3, you need to keep your audience connected in some way. So was really pleased with my new look. Still, you know, I kept they made me very, very, very blonde, and I kept it. I really am liking the blonde. My hair is growing out longer, which was the plan. You know, we had a 6-month plan that he told me how to tell my hairstylist to cut it and do it. And those clothes are great. Now they're getting too big because I'm losing weight again, but it was a great experience. And you're right. I was so amazed at how people were so involved with that, people on Twitter that I didn't know that would say, oh, well, make sure they don't do anything radical to your hair. We love your hair. You know, they were so involved, and it was really kind of crazy. But, you know, that's why I'm so open in social media and so open in my newsletters, and I connect people to me because people want to do business with someone they know, someone they like, and someone they trust, and somebody they feel connected to. It's really easy to quit doing business with Best Buy or Circuit City or, you know, a company that's nameless and faceless. You're not really attached to them. But for somebody to disconnect from Kerry Wilkerson, the Barefoot Executive, their coach, someone who believes in them, someone who in my classes I say, okay, look at the webcam. Look me in the eyes. I want you to listen to me. I believe you can do this. I know you can do this, and I care about you and the steps that you're taking. You know, that's powerful. People have a hard time disconnecting from that, and so I keep them in my space as long as I possibly can.
How do you actually keep yourself motivated? You're continuing to lose weight. Possibly it would go back to how you even made the shift from deciding that, you know what, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to get out of debt, and I'm going to change my life. How did that come about? Was there any profound moment or an occurrence that happened?
You know, I think in everybody, you know, we tend to wait for the big aha moment, but sometimes you just have to wake up and put on your boots and say, enough is enough is enough. I will not be a victim. I'm tired of hating my clothes. I'm tired of not having energy. I'm tired of not recognizing myself in the mirror. And enough is enough, and nobody can change this but me. There is no magic pill. There's no magic pill. There's no magic surgery. There's no magic solution. It's one choice at a time. It's the same about getting out of debt. You know, we could have filed for bankruptcy. We could have done all sorts of things, but the fact is we chose to get out $1 at a time. And pay the people what we owed them on the debt that we had acquired in different areas. And so you have to quit beating yourself up. You have to say, I deserve the change. And you have to recognize that it's work. It's work. It's not magic. People think, oh, I'm going to file bankruptcy and then this will never happen to me again. I've learned my lesson. Well, the truth is most of us have not learned our lesson until we've had severe consequences and until we've done some serious effort and some serious work to get out of the mess we've gotten ourselves in. You know, my mom used to tease me about, you know, your prayer life is always best when you're in a mess. Dear God, please help me get out of this mess that I've created for myself. Again, you know, the fact is nobody's going to bail you out. You have to fix it yourself. And so how do I keep myself motivated? Well, the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm motivated like everybody else is motivated. Nobody can motivate you for you. Motivate means move to action. Nobody can move you to action. Nobody. They can inspire you. They can give you hope. They can be a role model for you, set an example for you, but no one can motivate you. I hate the term motivational speaker. I hate the term motivational materials. I think it's a misnomer. The fact is only you can motivate yourself. So what motivates me? What motivates me that I only keep clothes in my closet that fit now? And so when they start to get tight or when I start to feel not cute in them, then it's time to do something else. Or I'm motivated by the fact that this year I put a pool in. Now, I'm not really motivated by material things, but I live in Texas. It's just dadgum hot, and I've got four kids. So a pool is a very good investment for us because my kids spend a lot of time in it. They love it. It gives them something to do. And I have a son who is not really built for athletics and is not really built to gain muscle mass, but swimming is something he can feel very successful at. And so for a mom to be able to say, this is the choice I want to make. I don't want to have to tell my kids no, that we can't do this because money is an issue. Money is choices. And so money is not happiness, but money is choices. And so to be able to do that for my kids was really powerful motivation for me. Being out of debt is a huge motivation for me. I don't like to owe people money, period. I don't like it. And so I am motivated in a sense by hindsight, by that painful place where I was, by the painful debt that I was in and knowing I will never be in that place again, never. So I'm also motivated by and inspired by the women and men that I work with that tell me I'm making a difference or the stories that they send me, or how grateful they are that they got to stay home and hear the baby's first words or see the baby's first steps or, you know, be able to buy the daughter the prom dress she wanted or whatever. So So I'm inspired by those things, but as far as motivated, only I can motivate myself to take action. This morning was a cold, gray, windy day. The kids are out of school. You know, we stayed in bed a little longer than we normally did. We hung out and we enjoyed that space. But at the same time, I had things to do, and so I had to make myself get out of bed. I work for myself. I could totally justify taking the whole day off. No boss is going to make me work today. But because of the things I know I'm accomplishing this week and the change I want to make this week and the impact I choose to have this week, I motivate myself to action.
You put your focus onto how you're going to make profit, I imagine, originally. You had to figure out some type of a business. And once you got that going, everything else just was created out of it. Would you say that's how you started out, is to start thinking about how you're going to make money? Or did you think about how can you serve people, or how did you start to make some money?
Well, I think that everybody's motives are different when they start. You know, some people, income is not the issue. Some people, it's because they're passionate about something and they want to make a change, or they have a product they're passionate about, or they just want to do something in their spare time or be more social or whatever. So that is some people's motive. And some other people's motive is, you know, definitely to replace their income, their full-time income. So they need to be income-focused and also work smart with their systems. My focus was staying home with my kids and replacing my salary, because I had just quit without a plan. So I had to come up with cash. And then especially at the point of after a couple of years of my first business, when I had, you know, because of several reasons, ended up in even more debt. I had done well in that business, but still had amassed more debt in business building and lifestyle and those kind of things. Then it became a critical cash need. And so it wasn't about what I was excited about. It wasn't about, you know, how can I make $1 million? It was about how can I pay my bills plus interest, and how can I cover my cost of doing business, and what skills do I have, what technology do I have, what can I do right now to generate some cash. And my goals were very small. I just needed enough. And I think as women, we tend to get stuck there. I just wanted enough to pay those bills. I just wanted enough to stay home. If I could just have this many clients, if I could just, you know, meet this income goal, then I would be okay. I would be happy. And so I really focused on marketing and serving that need, even though I wasn't enjoying that business per se. I was getting a lot of satisfaction out of serving those people and a lot of satisfaction out of generating a paycheck, and knowing that I was paying those bills off was so empowering, so satisfying, so exciting. So, you know, I wasn't motivated by passion, and first I was motivated by profit. Now, that does evolve as you're in business. Your motives tend to change, because the truth of the matter is, once you are profitable and once you are meeting your needs and you've gotten to just enough, then money really ceases to motivate you. You have to look deeper. You have to look for your why. You know, what are you passionate about? Why would more money help with different choices, or why would more influence help with more people? So I think that evolves. I think you need to give yourself the freedom to know that your passion, your driving force is going to change. It may be profits initially, but then it'll reach into, once you get profitable, then it reaches into purpose more so.
If I were to start out right now trying to make money in internet marketing, how fast do you think I could make money? Would it take me 6 months or a couple of weeks? How would I do that?
Well, you know, again, that comes back to the fact that I really hate that term, internet marketing, because internet marketing is not a product or a service. Internet marketing is a way to market your product or service and deliver it. And so it would depend. You have to have a niche. You have to have a group you're going to serve. So is it in crafting, or is it in parenting, or is it in teaching, or do you have a skill you can teach? So with internet marketing, it boils down to, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to have a business in internet marketing, and you're going to jump in. You have to know first what your business is, and then how can internet marketing help grow your business? It's like saying, I'm going to go into business as a storefront owner, without knowing what's in the storefront, without knowing what you're going to sell or who you're going to serve. So, you know, I believe you can get to cash fairly quickly, but you have to be kind of clear on who are you blogging to, or who are you affiliate marketing to, or who are you serving, and then you can start doing affiliate promotions or banner ads or whatever. But you can't do anything until you have an audience, and you can't have an audience until you know why you're serving who you're serving, because you can't just market to everybody. You have to market to a group.
You have your own mastermind group, and I wonder, did you have mentors to train you, and how did you even learn how to do some of the technical things in internet marketing, or how did you even learn the process?
Well, yes, I've absolutely had mentors. That is why I feel like I've progressed as fast as I have. One, because I study and I implement fairly quickly, but I also realized early on I needed to position myself with people who had been there and done that already, and that was in the form of a mentor and a mastermind group. So I've done some coaching with Yannick Silver. I'm part of Yannick Silver's mastermind group. I've bought a couple of his products. And then I decided, you know what, rather than just study his products, I'm going to put myself directly in his space. So I'm one of 18 business owners that meets with him several times a year in person and also on the phone every other month. And then I have email access to him as well. So that if I have an idea or something, he can say, no, that's not going to work, and here's why, or yes, that would work, and let's tweak it this way, or, you know, that has really cut my learning curve a lot. Also, these other 18 business owners are in the space of what we're doing, and so we learn from each other. Like, I'm a really great list builder, and some of them are not, and some of them are really great at the sales process and the back-end process or the technical process, and I'm not. And so we learn from each other. And then when you learn, it's not enough just to learn. You have to do. And so it's like I always tell people, you can buy every course in the world or every video in the world, but you will not be wearing smaller jeans because you bought an exercise video and watched it. You have to do it. You have to implement it. You have to work out with it more than once. You have to be consistent. You have to do it correctly and more than once. And it's the same with information products and working with a group. You have to be willing to learn, yes, but you also have to implement. So Yannick Silver has been, you know, one that I've primarily worked with this year, but I've also I studied the Membership Site Owner Bootcamp with Tim Kerber and Ryan Lee, and so Tim Kerber has been a mentor with me this year, unofficially a mentor. Also, I have connected with some people on Twitter who have been willing to mentor me offline because they saw some gaps in what I was doing that they wanted to help me with, and that's because I'm taking action and making things exciting. Ken MacArthur, I was in his coaching group, and while I didn't do much coaching in that group, he has been a really great mentor for me. He's introduced me to a lot of people. He's put me on stage a few times, which I love. You know, I love to speak and I love to teach, and so that has helped with connections in other ways. So you absolutely have to, you know, you can do this alone. You're brilliant. You're smart. You're an action taker. You're a studier. You can do this alone. But why would you when you could study with someone who's been there and done that, is where you want to be, already has a proven method of success and can take you with them.
That makes me think, too, of joint venture partners, because that's probably how you get some. Maybe just share with everyone, how do you find joint venture partners and how do you use them in your business?
Well, you know, there's two different terms. There's affiliates and there's joint venture partners. And joint venture partners, I tend to think of you doing co-product creation and helping each other that way. And I've not really had any formal joint venture partners. I have had several affiliates. And even then, I don't have a lot because the work-at-home woman market, there aren't a lot of outstanding female affiliates. However, in the internet marketing space, I am gaining more affiliates, guy marketers, you know, that are doing more that way. But I think affiliates want to see a couple of things. One, they like it when you promote their product. Two, they like it when you know what you're talking about or when you take action. But three, they're most impressed by your list and your responsiveness of your list, your audience. And so if you don't have an audience, they're a little more hesitant about that because you might be eager and action-taking and all that, but if you don't have a list that's going to buy, then they don't really have a vested interest in being involved with you. So it's all in leveraging your list and leveraging your skills and gifts that you bring to the table.
Why do you think that some people make so little in internet marketing and then others end up making so much?
Well, it's just like anything. There are a lot of people doing very little, and there are very few people doing a lot. A lot of people want it to be magic. They want it to be magic. They want it to be push-button marketing. They want it to be easy. They want to sit behind their computer and eat ice cream out of the container and make money while they refresh their computer screen. And that's just not realistic. It's work. It's hard work. And initially, it's a lot more work than it is later. You know, there are some things you can put on recurring and passive later, but initially, there is a learning curve and there's implementation. And anybody that tells you any different is trying to sell you something. I will never tell anybody it's get rich quick. I will never tell anybody it's instant money overnight, ever. I don't think it's realistic.
That's what it says on all those sales letters I read.
Yeah, well, those people are selling you something. On my sales letters and my videos, I will say, I don't know how to tell you how to get rich quick overnight. I've not done that. I've not found the way to get rich quick overnight. Now, I can make a lot of money in a short time now, but it's taken me a while to leverage my list, and I still have to work behind it. So, you know, the reason so many are doing so little is the same reason we still have so many people overweight, and the same reason we have so many people still going through the drive-thru, and the same reason we have so many people in debt. It's because we want instant gratification. We don't want to put the effort behind it. We, you know, the diet industry is at an all-time high. Supplements and exercise equipment and videos. I mean, if you want to make money, get in that industry. And it's because people are looking for the fix. There's a whole lot of people doing very little. But the reason the success stories stand out is because those people stuck with it. They were consistent and they did the right things.
They took action.
They took massive action with a mentor or a mastermind group, and they work hard. We work hard, you know, and that's not sexy to say that, but we work hard, and sometimes we work a lot of hours. So there are a lot of people making just a small income with internet marketing because they choose to. You know, they only want to work a few hours, and that's fine. But I choose for massive action and massive profits.
Can you tell us about your membership site? What do you have on there, and what would I get out of it if I joined?
Well, we're actually revamping that a lot as we speak. I'm working with a copywriter and a consultant this week. But barefoot-executive.com is the definitive resource for work-at-home women. There are forums where you can connect with other work-at-home women. We do monthly classes where we bring experts to you that teach different business models or bring you resources like CPAs or legal advice. There are over 75 articles on there about different areas of business, marketing, getting started, avenues of income, all those kind of things. And you also get discounts on purchases in the shopping cart. You're on the hot list for when we have boot camps or mastermind. You get invited first. And it's really just a good connected environment. But, again, some of those benefits are about to change as we launch this parallel association. And we're adding a coaching level now for monthly coaching, and because we've had such a need for that. And I just can't coach one-on-one as much anymore. So we're implementing some ongoing group coaching and those kind of things.
What do you do in your boot camp, and when do you hold it?
Well, I can't even really answer that because the boot camp changes every time. The boot camp is an interactive course, group coaching that we do with different focuses. We've done it for direct sales market. We've done it
so
for internet marketing.
Sorry, Carrie, it's online. It's online, not
it's not in
attending.
Person. Right.
Okay.
Right, it's online. Everything I do except for live speaking is online because women that work at home don't want to leave home to leave their kids. They don't want to leave. Some of them have jobs or husbands or, you know, whatever. And so we try to do as much as we can virtually.
Okay. So sorry, I interrupted you. Continue
That's
on
okay.
About what the boot camp is.
Well, the boot camp, what I was saying is it's just been different programs for different markets. So Barefoot Boot Camp is the format, but it serves different markets. So there's more information about that for internet marketing at barefootbootcamp.com. But, again, it'll just take you to a notification list because we don't have one going on right now. We're developing the home study version and working to expand that.
Do you have some other products that I could get from you?
We also have Magnetic List Building, which talks about how to grow your list and your audience, and it's a free video course at magneticlistbuilding.com. And also at the Barefoot Executive site, there's a product area with different resources and reports that we have there, and then Barefoot Boot Camp is the notification list for our group coaching.
And what's the website to find all that?
Well, Magnetic List Building is at magneticlistbuilding.com.
Okay.
Barefoot Boot Camp is at barefootbootcamp.com.
Is there an underscore in there or anything? No.
No, no, no.
Okay.
It's barefootbootcamp.com. And the membership site is barefoot-executive.com.
Okay, great. because I'm sure that many of our listeners would love to stay in touch with you. So that'll be a great way for them to find where you are. And again, I tell everybody, go see that video, that the Boss movie, because it's just so inspirational.
Well, and at the end of the Boss movie, it gives them the option to be on our free newsletter list. And so that's another way they can stay connected to me and always see, you know, what we've got going on. We mail weekly. We email that weekly.
Okay. Thank you. When I started this project, I did it because when I was in the Internet Marketing Seminar, there were really no women on stage. And then in the audience, there were very few women too. And I thought, don't tell me this whole industry is dominated by men. There have to be some great women out there doing the same thing. What do you have to say about why the women aren't on stage or why the women aren't at the conferences? And do you think that there are a lot of women in this business?
Oh, I think there are absolutely a lot of women that are monetizing the internet at home. The reason there aren't more on stage, the reason there aren't more at the conferences are what I mentioned earlier. They don't want to leave their families. Women tend to choose lifestyle over profit. They want to make enough to stay home, enough to meet their needs. They don't necessarily have the aspirations as a whole. Now, yes, I'm stereotyping. Don't send me hate mail. But as a whole, they tend to be satisfied with the smaller income so that they can only work a few hours a day. And that's fine. That's great. The reason there aren't more women on stage is because I think that a lot of the guy marketers tend to see the high-profile guy marketers. They don't see a lot of women taking action. They don't see a lot of women in their mastermind groups. They don't see a lot of women doing massive profits. And so they tend to stick with the people that can paint the bigger picture. But what I have also seen, and I hate the male-female debate. I'm really not all about that. And I mentor as many men as I do women, honestly. And what I really think is that when you are a woman in this space, you actually have a benefit because you stand out more. When you are a woman who is taking massive action, or when you are a woman who can speak effectively from stage, or when you are a woman who can show them that you're not intimidated by them, but you're very open to learning from them, then they will gladly give you the microphone. They will gladly position themselves with you. They will gladly joint venture with you and co-brand with you. They've been very open. I've not had any prejudice in this industry. I've not had any obstacles in this industry because of my gender, period. If anything, it has been an advantage because I stand out, because they say, wow, who is this mom and what is she doing? And wow, there's this cute little mom over there, but yeah, does she really know what she's talking about? And then I open my mouth and talk about list segmentation or social media marketing or conversions or autoresponders, and they say, holy cow, she's speaking our language. She gets us. She knows what we're doing, and they love it. They really love it, and they love the dynamic of a chick in the space. They really do. So, you know, I encourage more women to get involved. You know, don't think it's going to be easy. But at the same time, I hate that argument about, oh, we have to be 10 times as successful as them to get any notice. That's bull. That's absolute bull. You just have to be open to coaching. You know, you have to be open to the atmosphere, and you have to study and know what you're doing. Now, they don't expect you just to get by on being cute. You've got to know what you're talking about. So, you know, I think we are seeing a lot more women on stage. We've got, you know, Mari Smith in social media. We've got Allie Brown, who's an internet marketer. We've got Lori Morgan Ferrero with Red Hot Copy. We've got Lynn Terry, who's a super affiliate marketer. We've got Alexis Martin Neely, who is just really brilliant in law and using internet marketing to leverage that. We have so many women who are embracing this space and moving forward that I think with the addition of social media and the leveraging of social networking, I think you'll be seeing more and more women rising to high-profile levels, because it's not going to be all about traveling and being on stage anymore. It is so much more about virtual presence and virtual rapport. And as chicks, we totally get that. We can work those relationships. So, you know, I think you need to know that the landscape is changing, in other words.
Do you attend a lot of seminars yourself every year?
You know, I try not to attend unless they're income producing for me. There's absolutely one I will not miss, and that's the Underground Online Seminar that Yannick Silver hosts. And that is a really outstanding event that sets itself apart. And now I try to limit myself to maybe one major conference a year where I'm not speaking, and then I will try to do two or three where I am speaking. But I have my mastermind group, and then I also speak at non-internet marketing events. I'm an in-demand speaker in other arenas, so I really kind of have to limit how much I do and where I go. I'm not like some of the guys that they really can just pick up and go every weekend because their wife has the kids and has that all handled. It's a little different when you're a woman traveling in the space, especially when you're a mom and a wife. You have to be considerate of all the little people. So guys do have the advantage there, but you know what? That's okay. I wouldn't trade my spot for that.
And you still have to have a very supportive husband who
very
helps out.
Right, very. And also that's where it helps to have, staff also. That's where it helps to have a mommy's helper on the weekend or grandparents close by or whatever.
Do you think that you could go away and travel for 2 months and just leave your business?
Probably not this year. And the fact is I could take my laptop with me. We do travel a lot and we just take our business with us. But could I just walk away and ignore my business for 2 months? One, I wouldn't. We, at 10 days at Christmas, I took off and it was really hard for me, not because it was falling apart, because it wasn't, but because I missed it. I missed the interaction and it feeds me. It's part of who I am. But, at some point, I guess that probably will be possible, but when you really love what you do, I just can't imagine taking 2 months off and not being fueled by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to be in my office for 2 months, if that makes sense. I can take it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Back to making money. If someone is making $500 a month, how can they get to $50,000 and then to $100,000 a year? What do they need to implement to be able to accomplish that?
The truth is you can only do so much, and so you have to look at ways to layer your income, whether it's group coaching, masterminding, massive info product distribution, or affiliate marketing. So, again, it's a really broad question. It depends what your business model is, but, we maximized our profits when we started adding in group coaching rather than just individual coaching and adding more passive products in that we could funnel people to.
Okay, thanks. One question that I want to just backtrack on. Before, we were talking about getting a designer to help. What do you need a designer for?
Well, header design, like when you have the header of your web pages or your sales pages, like when you look at Barefoot Bootcamp, you'll see the graphics we have there. A designer has to do that. I'm not skilled to do that. I don't want to do that. And they can knock it out in way less time than I can do it. So the unique look of all your web pages, like barefootbootcamp.com, you'll see that there. You'll see that at magneticlistbuilding.com. The header is even different. Barefoot-executive.com is even different. So it's just having someone that can implement your graphics and your banners and those kind of things.
How much does that cost? And where do you find them?
Yeah, I use the same guy over and over. But there's another one I've used for a long time, ecoverbox.com. ecoverbox.com. His name is Sam. He does a nice job. It's pretty reasonable. It just depends on what you need, if you need buttons or if you just need a banner. But you can get a nice little graphics package, pretty standard for your website, I think for like $97.
There's another.
You can also go to 99designs.com mm-hmm. and have designers bid their work against each other for whatever you decide to set the price on. So that's 99designs.com is another good resource.
And that can go anywhere from $150 to $500.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Carrie, thank you so much for all the information that you've given us. If we want to keep in touch, you mentioned that the website to go to is www.thebarefootexecutive.com.
Actually, the probably the best way is for them to watch the movie and get on the newsletter list, thebossmovie.com. And then they can also go to blogbarefoot.com.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time and all the information that you gave us. Appreciate it, and wish you all the best this year in your projects.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.